to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 will continue. If you remember last week, we were talking about dealing with non-essentials, was the title of our message, was dealing with non-essentials and how if we're not careful, they become essential in our life when we differ on things in the church. How many of us believe here that we'll not all agree on everything, right? Yeah. There's some non-essentials. There's some things that we should agree on and some things that we're not always going to agree on. How do we deal with those things? And so that's something for us to think about this week. But before we start, let's go ahead and stand to our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word. I pray that you have a copy of God's Word to follow along as we read so that you are responsible for seeing that I'm preaching you the words of God. And that's very, very important. So let's look at Romans chapter 14, starting at verse 13. It says, "Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and I'm convinced by the Lord that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet your brother is grieved because of your food. You are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for a few short minutes that you'll teach us about living in liberty. God, you'll help us as we continue to talk about dealing with non-essentials, that Christ will be glorified. And Lord, I pray you'll hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. You know, we started last week dealing with the non-essentials and how our diversity, we're very diverse here in this room. I'm looking at a lot of diversity. And yet how God has called us to unity and how if we're not careful, our very diversity can cause disunity. We understand that. And so I want us to think about, we're prone to criticize, are we not, people who don't practice things the exact way that we do. Let's be honest. We have a list in our mind, maybe. We might not have it wrote out, but there's a certain list. And if somebody don't follow our list, look, it's kind of like, do as I do, and you won't have any trouble. Will we ever verbalize that? But yet we do. We speak that with our life many times, don't we? Do as I do, you won't have any trouble. But if you do a little something different, what about that? We're all guilty. Let's be honest. When he's dealing with this and how many times it's that, it's these non-negotiables that cause the trouble that we have in the church. There's some doctrines or some principles or words. The truth of God's word should never. There's not any negotiable there. But guess what? There's non-essentials that we can focus on, and it can cause us to have much division. And in fact, most of your church divisions come from the non-essentials. And so I want us to think about that today and how we saw that when we looked last week, we saw that it was crucial for us to have genuine acceptance of one another. Remember that? And then how we also saw that we can differ, but both be right before God. That was another principle. And then lastly, we saw that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account, each and every one. And so all this, it was talking about Paul's dealing with maintaining unity, and he's going to finish this chapter talking about our unity. But last week was kind of, we were looking at what we should know, but this week is kind of what we should do with what we know. And so as he finishes up, and so I want us to look at three truths this morning, and living in liberty this morning. Living in liberty. We all are free and have liberty in Christ to live certain ways, but listen, We're going to find out there's a principle in God's Word. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's not preached a whole lot today, okay? Why? Why is it not preached? Because here in America, we're what we call free men, are we not? We're free, man. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is what it's all about, right? And yet, we're free to do, and we'll stand, and it makes us individuals. Hey, we have this freedom to do whatever. And I'm so thankful that we live in a free nation to do that. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the things of God and the people of God, there's certain freedoms that we do not have. We're going to learn that today. And one of those is to do whatever we think is right without ever thinking about somebody else. You say, wait a minute, there's a principle we'll see come out of that. And so I want us first to think about these three truths in liberty, living in liberty this morning. First thing is, when we're living in liberty, don't stumble your brother. Look at verses 13 and 15. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know, and I'm convinced by the Lord Jesus, there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy your food for the one, or do not destroy with your food the one whom Christ died. You know what he's saying? And we talked about last week, these two groups of people, the Jews and the Gentiles, that are coming together. The Jews believed that, hey, they wouldn't enjoy that bacon and sausage over there this morning, okay? Pork was not a kosher food. And so for them to see their brothers and sisters, the Gentiles, come together, and they just ate right, they would eat anything. That's us. We all eat about anything, won't we? As long as it tastes good. I've been overseas, and I've ate things I didn't know what it was. And Sandy said, oh, I don't like it. I said, honey, as long as I don't know what it is, it tastes good, I don't care. Now, it can have some texture issues. Okay, you can get into that stuff. We won't talk about that this morning. But Gentiles, again, now, but they came out of a pagan heritage that a lot of the meat was sacrificed to idols. I talked about this week. So this was a constant clash over food and things like that in this church in Rome. And that's why Paul is addressing it. And so when we're living our Christian liberty, we are to understand there's some parameters that should be in place. Can anybody say amen? There's some parameters that we ought to have in place, and Paul's going to give them out to us today. And it's important that we determine not to be a what? Stumbling block. What is a stumbling block? You ever tripped over something? You always look around and see if anybody's looking, don't you? Boom. Worried about seeing if somebody... It's not talking about throwing something in somebody's way on purpose. It's really talking about inadvertently that we... You know that you can live in Christian liberty and inadvertently stumble somebody. Does that take anybody by surprise this morning? We can have these liberties that God's given us. Christ, in Christ we have tremendous liberty. We can have this liberty and we can live it in such a way that we inadvertently stumble others. I want us to keep that in the back of our mind. The word speaking, you know, here is talking about this block or this way that we could cause our brother to lose their testimony or to have trouble with understanding where they stand in Christ. There's many issues today. There's many areas that are not covered specifically in the Bible. And we say, hey, this is how I feel about it, and I don't care how you feel. This is where I stand on it. And so I've got the liberty to do this. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. Does that sound like our American way of doing things? It's not the Christian way. It's not the biblical way. And Paul's going to really bring that out. If you remember, it's this determination. I don't want to defile my brother or help him or hurt his testimony. Jesus taught, remember when we taught that Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. Didn't he say, teach that? But it's what comes out. And you remember when Peter got the vision and Cornelius, the Holy Spirit is sending him down to the Gentile, man. It was the birth of the new church. He's saying, go down to Cornelius. Now, first he brings this sheet down. Peter's up praying on the roof and he brings this sheet down. It's got all kinds of good critters on it, right? Everything, and he comes down, and Jesus says, take up and eat. Peter said, hey, I haven't ate these things since I was a little kid or born. I can't do that. And Jesus said, hey, three times, trying to get Peter. He said, don't call something that I blessed unclean. It was difficult for us. So we see that even as apostles, that mindset. And so he's talking about, hey, it's not what goes in, it defiles, it's what goes out. And he's talking about this liberty he realized, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, it's unclean. We talked about this last week. You have a conscience God's given you. Have you ever had that thing? I told you one time I had a friend that said, if you'll ignore that thing, it'll quit bothering you. Think about that. You have this conscience and you're bothered about a certain action, certain thing you did. Have you ever had somebody just rubbed you the wrong way and boy, you told them off good, didn't you? And then your conscience starts bothering you. And the Holy Spirit says, you know, that wasn't right. You need to go apologize to them. You ever done that? You know, here's what you'll do. Oh, I don't want to, but he won't leave it alone, will it? Aren't you glad for that? That's called your conscience and the Spirit of God that tells you, I don't want you acting this way. You represent me. I can't tell you, working at Dana, how many times that I had a group, I was a lead man, and I'll tell you, American workers anymore try to work to get out of work than they do give you a good day's work anymore. And people can't understand, why are we losing our job? Work! And so I was a lead man, and I can't tell you how many times I went off on these guys, and I don't mean, I'm talking about in Jesus' name, all right? I'm not talking about giving somebody bad language or anything, but ask them, say, what in the world do you want me to put my foot in your rear side to get this job done today? And then because of my spirit, I have to go back and say, you know, God, I'm sorry. Boys, I just got a little bit aggravated. I feel like that I feel like that this is what God's given us to do and we need to get it, but I have to watch my flesh as well. And so, and then just almost not wanting to. Have God ever made you apologize when you didn't want to? Ain't you glad for that? He's talking about that conscience. When somebody, he says, when they think that it's unclean, don't do it. Listen to your conscience. If you think it's wrong, well, what about so-and-so? I saw them doing it because it must be all right. How many of us do that? We try to rationalize our conscience, don't we? And Paul's trying to give them a principle here to live by. Think of the Jewish believer that had these certain meats, and that even though it wasn't unclean, ain't nothing good with a good piece of pork. Can anybody say amen today? We ate plenty of it, all right? Some of us ate too much this morning. Good piece of bacon go a long way. Bacon's good on anything. But the Jewish believers, they thought that was wrong and a sin to eat it. Paul's saying, you know what? For him to eat it, even though it's not sin, it would be sin for him to do it because his conscience says that it's wrong. You see that principle? And he's trying to tell them that. He thinks it's unclean. And we're not to offend our fellow Christians, but to be careful not to say anything that might cause them to be spiritually grieved or hurt. The strong Christian is entirely right in their conviction and that he has this liberty that he can enjoy, but the Lord declares it not to become sinful, not to just do it, not care. It'd be like if we had people that felt that way, it would be better for us not to fix bacon and sausage this morning, okay? How many of us would do that? We're going to get it where it applies a lot better here in just a minute, all right? Because we can't grasp that too good, but we'll get to that in a minute. But if our weaker brother is grieved or hurt because of our liberty, we must stop and consider what our liberty is doing. And we'll see that. Look, in verse 15, we see in verse 15, it's not our liberty that we are to promote, but what is it? Love. Not liberty, but love. It's about our love for one another. Is that not what God said? That will be our brand? We talked about that. Would that not be that the world knows that we are in Him when we have love for one another? So we're not to promote our liberty, but our love. He says, yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy your food, or do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died. He said, it's better off not to mess with it if it's hurting your brother or sister in Christ. This is getting into the principle that we don't hear a whole lot today, isn't it? It's not your liberty that counts, it's your love. Paul recalls, and he's bitter, and he's saying this bitter emphasis on your food. Don't just eat. You know what he's talking about? Flaunting our liberties, our freedoms. Flaunting. Here's the deal. Please hear me this. He's horrified by this flaunting of freedom. I want you to understand, please, let's put it in today's culture, okay? Are you listening very closely? If you have a liberty to do something today, if you have a liberty to drink, don't post it on Facebook or Instagram. Does anybody hear me today? Can anybody please say amen? You say, why? I'm the weaker brother when it comes to that. Okay? I'm the one you're offending when you put it out there. I've got this freedom, so let's get our wine out. See, it's a great sunset. It wasn't like a great bottle of wine. Don't post it and brag about it. Why? I'm the weaker brother when it comes to that. Do you want to stumble your pastor? Don't flaunt your freedoms. Why? It costs. It comes. Sometimes we're weaker and sometimes we're stronger. We don't do those kind of things. We're free men in Christ, but we're under bondage. What are we under the bondage of? Love. We're under bondage of love. We love each other. We love Christ and we love others. Love God, love others. That's our mission statement here. And we got to live that out. This should be evident in the church most of all. And what are you talking about? A voluntary restriction about caring for one another. Restrictions on what we might have liberty to do. To care. To what extent and how far should we go? And that's always the question. How far should we go? It's not indiscriminately. It's to be thought through, okay? I'm not talking about being subject to the prejudice of legalism and legalistic Christians. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about genuinely caring about your brothers and sisters in Christ. Caring enough that you're willing to sacrifice where you stand in your freedoms. Why? For others. That's what Paul's dealing with here in the church. For the betterment of what? The whole. It's not about me. It's about you. Boy, that's not something preached today in America too good. Don't go over too good, does it? It's totally conflict with the culture and what the culture teaches you. It's about, not about me, it's about you. It's about the sacrifice of my freedoms and what I might can do so that I make much of Christ. Something for us to think about. Do not stumble your brother, first principle. Then, look at verses 16 through 18. Live like citizens of the kingdom. What does it say? Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. He said, hey, don't forfeit your witness. Not on what? Not on externals. Not about the do's and don'ts of, that's not what we're talking about here. I'm not talking about the do's and don'ts of religion. We all know that. I don't do this and I do this. That's not what makes us right with God. That's externals. Is that not the religion of the Pharisees? Is that not what Christ in his Sermon on the Mount kept saying? They kept saying, hey, we do this and we do that. This makes us right with God. And Jesus pointed right to them and said, listen, it's not the externals that's important. It was your heart that's the problem. And that's what he's getting at here. It's not do's and don'ts, not externals. It's talking about eternals. What? Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Man, those are eternal things. Those are things that last forever. Not focus on the grinder monkey religion. It's this idea of Christ in me, the hope of glory, that I have these things. Listen, and I'm willing to say, you know what? I might have these freedoms, but you're more precious to me than my freedom. Christ is more precious to me. If I can help you in your walk with Christ to give up this for you, that's precious. It's eternal things. What? Righteousness. Think about it. That's a thirst for God. Peace that naturally flows out of that thirst and that righteousness for God. And then from peace with God, peace with man, what comes next? Joy. Joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. We sing about it. We teach our kids about it. It comes from these eternals. From living about these, not do's and don'ts, but these eternal things. If you remember, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed and happy. The evidence of Christ in our lives is that joy that comes from serving him. Not the externals, not because I do this or I don't do that, but the externals that come from this eternal things, that righteousness, that peace that comes, that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, to that joy that's lived out. Listen, this old world has plenty of heartache and hardship.
But we come together and this is our time of worship and focusing on the Lord. And we can lay those things down and we understand that there's a joy that cannot be taken from us. Those people that lost everything in Houston. I loved what Grace said today in the prayer room. She said they didn't lose everything because they still got you, the ones that still have Christ. Now, what, that's the perspective I'm talking about. You can lose everything you have materially, but you can still have everything you got spiritually. Can anybody say amen to that? I think they think there's a book in the Old Testament that proved that out. It's called Job, ain't it? You talk about a man to lose everything. 10 kids. Everything he had. His wife even said, hey, he was so poor and pitiful out scraping boils on an ash heap that his wife says, won't you curse God and die? What did he say? You speak like a foolish woman. Do we bless God in the good times and curse him in the hard times? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Naked I came into this world, naked I shall leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's joy that can't be removed. And this joy comes from these eternals, not external things that we do, but these eternals that we understand that we have in Christ. If we make this our focus, then the non-essentials become exactly what they are. What's that? Non-essentials. Verse 18 concludes on what he said, For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. Why is he acceptable to God? Acceptable to God because God sees their heart. He sees your heart. And acceptable because before man is because people can see the difference that Christ is making in your life. You want to make a difference in this world? Live a heart that wants to please Christ. And love that wants to show it out to the world that's around you. That's making a difference. And you're pleased before God and man. Paul said that's what happens when we let these non-essentials go to the wayside and we keep the essential things first. That righteousness. Not an emphasis on our freedom that will make us, you know what, an emphasis on freedom will make us a slave. What will it make us a slave to? It'll make us a slave to proving our liberty. Flaunting like we said before. In fact, I believe a Christian that flaunts their liberty is an immature Christian. They're not mature at all. They're immature. Why? Because they don't realize the damage that they're doing to others. Well, he says, hey, don't stumble your brother. Live like kingdom citizens. But lastly, pursue mutual benefits in this living in liberty. Look at verses 19 through 23. It says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for a man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor to do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. Paul ends up at this chapter and he's talking about pursuing peace and the things that lift one another up. And it's about building up, not tearing down. Why are we so quick to criticize and tear down? And so slow to build up. Why? Well, that's just human nature. I thought the Spirit of God dwells within us. Greater is he that's within me that's in the world, the Scripture says. Why is it that I struggle then with criticism and not lifting up? People, the truth be known, we say, well, we've really not had that modeled. All we've ever seen is criticism. Have you ever been around somebody that builds up, edifies? There's something contagious about that, aren't they? Somebody that's always encouraging, always lifting up. You never forget those people, do you? You just don't. They're so important in our life. Why can't we be one of those people? And because that's what he's calling us to do. It's lifting up, not about tearing down. And when we don't do this, look at what verse 20 says. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. He's saying secondary issues are seen for what they are. They're just secondary. It's not worth it. Arrogance is gone. What are we to be arrogant about? It's righteousness and peace and joy through the Holy Spirit. Restrained for the sake of others and the testimony of Christ. We're even the high road, he is saying. Here's the high road. I have the liberty to do this or that. But you know what? I'm not going to do it in front of my weaker brothers because they and Christ, the testimony of Christ in their life, is more important to me than any of those things. That's what he's saying. We are to pursue peace and the lifting up and not criticism and tearing down. And he said that, I want you to see that he's going to end this section speaking of the two positions that we started off with last week, and that's the weak and the strong. And I've said at the beginning of this, who's the weak and who is the strong? Yes, sometimes I'm the weak, sometimes you're the strong. Sometimes I'm the strong, you're the weak. It's in different situations here. But he's saying, hey, the strong, verse 22, where he's dealing with, he said, do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. And he says, you've got this liberty? You've got this faith to live in this freedom? He says, do it before God. You and God, that's all right between you and God, but don't flaunt it out in front of everybody. And then he makes a statement, happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. We like to be blessed. It's like a happy. We can be happy by what? Who does not condemn himself in what he approves. In other words, we're happy when we put God and others first. Could be the problem why I'm not happy a lot. When I put God and others first, I find happiness. And the high road is sacrificing my freedom and my rights and saying, Christ is about you, and it's about building up my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the high road. And that's what he's saying. He's talking about these strong Christians. Don't exercise your freedom and say, hey, you're just weak. Don't worry about it. Just let it go. We're to say, hey, brother, let me love you. I see where you're coming from. And let me help you. Let me teach you discipleship. Doing life together. That's what the church is about. If we just do and live any way we want to and we don't think about stumbling our brother, then it says we condemn ourselves. In other words, we don't have that walk, that intimacy with Christ that he desires from us. He's talking about the strong, but he ends up with the weak in verse 23, and he's already talked about this several times, so it's very important. When he says, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. So he's talking about that weaker brother that cannot exercise these liberties when it comes to this eating of the kosher food or whatever, or the eat meat that was sacrificed to idols, whatever it was that was causing him to stumble. He said, he don't do that. Advice to Christian consciences, if it doesn't, back again, if it doesn't allow it, don't do it. When you do, he says, when you go against your conscience, you're guilty of sin. Allow the Holy Spirit to use your conscience to guide you. If it's not right, don't do it. That's pretty simple, ain't it? For us weak people, that's a good thing. Whenever I know that it's not right, then I don't need to do it. I don't need to question it. It doesn't matter who's doing it. Don't do it. He says, if that's what it is, because when I go against that, he said, I'm sinning. Non-essentials can be sin when it goes against our conscience. If it's wrong, we don't do it. We hold each other with mutual respect. And if the church would do that, think of the unity that we'd have and the difference that we could make in a world that's desperately needing to see this kind of unity in a group of people that call themselves Christians, Christ-like, little Christ, Christians. They need to see a difference. One of the reasons why I didn't come to go to Christ for a long time, no excuse, but I told somebody, I said, I can find more fellowship down at the bar than I can at the church. up there at the bar and fine. As long as you got money to buy drinks, hey, you got all the buddies in the world, right? I realize, yeah, that's pretty weak. But I can find more fellowship with them, and we cannot worry about life when you come to church and get condemned and criticized all the time. It should never be that way at church. When we come to church, it should be about, hey, we're not perfect, far from it, but you know, we work together, and we sacrifice, and we do life and death together, and we live together, and we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ together, and we become more Christ-like. Why? So everybody can say, oh, let's go down to Southport. It's a great church. Nope. So people can say, that group of people served Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Not about a church and a body or a place that we meet. It's about a Savior and building a kingdom. That one day, as he said last week, when we stand before him and we give an account, those are the things that's going to matter. Not our preferences, not what we think, but what does Jesus think about us? Is our hearts ready for that? Linda, come and play, and we'll do applications and be done. Plus, my voice is going pretty quick, ain't it? Yeah, you'd think I'd be used to that. Applications. Number one, how do you use your freedom? That's between you and the Lord. How do you use your freedom? You might have a freedom. Today you know that's a freedom God's given. How do you use it? Do you flaunt it? You don't care about what anybody else thinks. Is that really freedom when it comes to serving the Lord and what we saw today? Number two, how can you promote unity in our church body? How do we promote unity? Maybe something, hey, you know what? There's a lot of us that maybe something we just don't like, and what do? We criticize, we tear down. Is that the way we promote unity? No. And lastly, how do we perceive others that don't line up with our non-essentials? That's a pretty important one right there, right? We have our little list. You mean they do that? I'm telling you, we all got our list. We all, if we're not careful, we are all our own judges, and we'll all point fingers at any moment. We stereotype people, and the world's out here begging, looking for people that are just Christ-like and love like Christ do. Love them like Jesus. Let's stand on our feet. I'm not going to tarry long. Here's the deal. I just want you to know this morning, if you say, man, this is all foreign, I ain't never heard anything like this, the truth of the matter is Jesus Christ came to this earth as God. He gave his life on a hill called Calvary. He died and was buried. The third day he arose, that you can have salvation in his name. This very morning, I'm going to tell you, I was one of them old guys that was out looking for it in the world, tried everything it had to offer, and knew I didn't have peace. I thought, this all the world's about, this all life's about, just having fun, going to work, paying bills, is that all life is? There's a longing inside a man. He'll never find it until he finds that peace with God through Christ. Search as you might, I've been down every trail you've been down. You'll never find it without Jesus. But today you can have that peace. All you have to do is ask Christ to forgive you, turn to him in repentance and say, Lord, today, through the Holy Spirit, I receive that into my life. And I'm asking Jesus to forgive me, and I'm receiving him as my personal Savior. And the Bible says that he, and by the promises of God's word, that you can be saved. Save from what? Yourself and sin. I'm telling you, we all need that. But maybe also through the preaching, you realize I'm just one of them people that I do whatever. I think I'm free to do whatever I want to do, and I don't care what anybody else says. That's their problem. We realize today that that's a principle that's not in God's Word. That when we have these freedoms and we flaunt it and we don't care, that we're really saying that it's all about who? Me. However God spoke to you, I'm going to ask you to shut your eyes before the Lord. Do business. You need to come forward, you come forward. You need to ask Christ in your heart, you can do it right there. And you can ask him to forgive you. And this can be a new day for you. But you're going to let somebody know. Nothing like walking an aisle saying, you know what, I'm not ashamed. I'm going to let the Lord know right here. I'm not ashamed in front of any group of people or anybody. I'll receive Christ as my personal Savior. However he's spoken to you. Give you a few minutes to deal with the Lord. Do not pass me by. Ooh. love you. Any way I can help you. These things and the things that we're learning are not easy things to live. But you know what? We got each other. And we got the Word of God. And we can live to each other. We got to be honest for each other. We struggle with those things. That's what accountability is. That's what discipleship is. That's learning, living together and growing in the grace and knowledge. Don't be, if you are just happy with where you are spiritually, that's the first indicator that you are not right with where you need to be. Don't be satisfied, but want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God every day. Why, if we ever quit with that longing, you know what we're doing? We're just going through the motions. We're just doing church. And God's never pleased with that. So however He speaks to your life, make it known any way I can help you. Lord, I struggle too. We all struggle together. You know what? But we grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ together. And we do life and death together until the Lord comes back or He takes us home. Next week is homecoming. Invite somebody to come. Be a lot of visitors. It'll be a good time for somebody to come with you. We'll have the best meal you ever eat. I guarantee you that. These people, woo, they cook. We're having chicken fingers from Daniel Boone, so that'll be the meat. The fixings will come. You will have a great time. Bring somebody with you. But listen, I love you. If you ask the Lord Jesus in your heart, please let me know or let somebody know after the service. Donnie, close us in prayer.